This is BBC Radio 3, 90 to 93 FM, on digital radio and online. And now it's time for Late Junction with Max Reinhardt.
Thank you, James. And are you enjoying your visit to the movies so far?
I certainly am. Yes, thank you very much. I love this evening's concert. Real individual voices.
I'm going to have to catch it on iPlayer.
You are.
Well, tonight on Late Junction, we've got the best seats in the house from which to enjoy the second part of my conversation with Mike Figgis, who's one of our few homegrown auteurs. And it includes some of the film music that's transformed his work. And of course, for the BBC Sound of Cinema season, the Junction is filled to bursting tonight with the music of the cinema, and indeed with cinematic music. Thanks to everyone who's been tweeting and emailing and suggestions for movie music. Keep them coming. You can tweet us at BBC Radio 3, hashtag Late Junction, email late.junction@bbc.co.uk. And so to a suggestion from Polly at Interval Thinks, and indeed Jay Taylor in Cambridge. They'd like to hear Ry Cooder's soundtrack to Paris, Texas. That's Wim Wenders' film from 1984, and it features Harry Dean Stanton as Travis, a man who wanders out of the desert not knowing who he is. So, here with Flaco Jimenez on button accordion, here's Harry himself singing Canción Mixteca.
De lejos estoy del suelo donde nací. Quisiera llorar, quisiera
to the mother. She smooths his brow and bids him drink from her well of hammered mist. Come along, sweet lad. Fog rises from the ground. Falling soot. It's just the dust of a shimmering gem. A black moon shines on a lake. White as a hand in the dark. She lifts the lamp to see his face, the silver ladle of his throat. On the line, rusted pins, not enough saviors to hang. She blesses the road, the robe and the road and the noose of vine. She waits beneath the triangle, formed by Mercury. Evening star, the fifth planet with its blistering sore, and the soaring eagle above into the west. The boy, the beast, and the butterfly. She walks across a bridge of magpies. Her hollow tongue fills the brightness with water. And in the wink of an eye, one planet with a glittering womb, one white crow, one diamond head, big as a world, big as a world. The boy, the beast, the butterfly. Quivering. Above the soar, the blistering soar of the fifth planet. Wait. Step. Don't forget, don't forget how I played with you. How I kissed away your tears. Don't forget. The white mouth of the sun smiles.
Patti Smith with Tarkovsky. The second stop is Jupiter. That's Patti meditating on the second greatest hallucinogenic space movie of all time so far. That would be the delicious slow burn that is Andrei Tarkovsky's Solaris, in which a shrink is sent to a distant space station to find out what has caused the crew to lose their sanity. Now, at least George Raphael wasn't questioning our sanity here at Lake Junction when he emailed us and gave us a good talking to, frankly. How, he said, can a composer such as Pier Rabin, who scored nearly all of Fassbinder's films, be left out of any discussion of contemporary film music? The man, he added, was brilliant, a master of many styles, perfectly in sync with Fassbinder's every whim and desire. And so, from his soundtrack from Faustrecht der Freiheit, in the UK that would be Fox and His Friends, the heartbreaking story of a working-class gay guy who falls in love with a rich man's son.
Yeah. جمع دريا سمعت رأي ألقى مع ستريا إني أهلا من يا نعمة دون أصوى مالاتو بولادتو
That was God is a Mystery, with an intriguing lyric. Worshipping God is not easy, they sang, and everyone will die in the end. No mystery about who was playing, though. Dirt music. They are Hugo Reis, who's doing the electronics, playing the keyboards and the percussion, Chris Ekman on guitar, and their Malian guest, Zumana Teretta, who was doing the singing and playing the soku, which sounds a bit like a one-string fiddle, like, say, a riti, or a West African instrument of that ilk. Back to cinema now. Heaven's Door is a Japanese drama released in 2008 and directed by Michael Arias. Here's the plot. Very simple. Two terminal patients decide to go on a final trip. Only trouble is that the car they decide to steal has a gun and a great deal of folding money in the boot. Two electronic musicians, Andy Terr and Ed Handley, better known as Plaid, are director Arias' movie composers of choice. From their soundtrack to Heaven's Door, this is Issues. I Surrender, Dear. From Brilliant Corners, Thelonious Monk's 1957 album, which is rated as possibly his finest. I really like Solo Monk. You can find full details of all the music I'm playing tonight on Late Junction online. If you want to listen to this programme again anytime over the next 7 days, then just go to iPlayer and it will be there. Last night, I played the playback queen, Asha Bhosle, and tonight it's the turn of her older sister, Lata Mangeshkar, who's hailed in turn as the Queen of Bollywood. This song is from the 1949 Hindi film Mahal, or The Mansion, directed by Kamal Arohi. Apparently, it's the first Indian thriller based on reincarnation. It's called Ayega Ayanawala.
Deepak bagair kaise parwane jale.
Lata Mangeshkar with Ayega Ayanawala. It's from the 1949 Hindi film Mahal, or The Mansion, and that song established Lata as a singing star and playback singing as an art right across India. And it proved to be a very popular song, not least because whenever the ghost in the film appears on the screen, you can hear that song, and everyone loves a ghost. Part two of my conversation with director-composer Mike Figgis is not far off now, but just to ease him in, I'm going to play some of his music. It's a piece called Suite in Three Parts, and it's the suite from his film Leaving Las Vegas. I'd just like to leave you, while you're listening to it, thinking about something that Mike said. Listening to music is more evocative for me than watching the films. I've always maintained that music is the most powerful medium in the world. Thank you.
man sits down to write a letter, but instead he writes a book. The book begins, "Dear sir, I don't know if you're interested, but your wife is a whore." A man gets on a train and proceeds to take all his clothes off. He begins to play with himself, and he says, "In my country, this is definitely not offensive." A man pours petrol through his neighbor's letterbox and throws in a match. The house is engulfed in flames as the neighbors jump from the upstairs window. He films the whole thing on video. He plays it back to them later in hospital. "Things have been pretty dull at home without you," he says. A man pushes a lawnmower 200 miles on his knees to the tomb of the unknown gardener. "Great one," he cries, "I've done my penance, I bring my offering. Grant me, grant me, grant me, pest-free roses. Circle Street, friendly people down on Circle Street. Good neighbors down on Circle Street. Well, if you need a hand, need a friend, we understand. And if you need a pal, we'll be there anyhow. Psycho Street, Psycho Street, Psycho Street. Takes his neighbor's cat to the barbecue and turns on the gas. "Now are you gonna talk," he says, "or am I gonna have to get nasty?" A man has an inflatable doll made that looks exactly like his wife. He murders his wife, dissolves her body in acid, and marries the doll. 3 years later, he leaves her for another doll. A man hands his son a brick and says, "Son, throw this brick through the greenhouse next door." The boy does. The boy next door throws one back. It hits the man on the head and mortally wounds him. "Oh, well," he says, as his lifeblood trickles away, "boys will be boys." A thoughtful woman sends her best friend a parcel. Inside, it says, is a free sample, full body beauty treatment, but really it contains acids and chemicals. When a friend tries it, her hair falls out, her face is wrinkled and her body scarred. A thoughtful woman turns to her husband and winks and says, "Preemptive strike." Psycho Street, friendly people down on Psycho Street. Good neighbors down on Circle Street. If you need a hand, need a friend, we understand. And if you need a pal, we'll be there anyhow. Oh, Circle Street, Circle Street, Circle Street, Psycho Street, Psycho Street, Psycho
Street. A very cinematic song there. Richard Thompson with Psycho Street from his 1991 album Rumour and Sigh. Colin Ventura has tweeted in, "The evening wears thin, the night takes us into its embrace, and the music plays on." Late Junction micro poetry. Well, it does work. Do tweet us at BBC Radio 3, hashtag Late Junction. Email latejunction@bbc.co.uk. Polly at Interval Thinks did, and she drew my attention to the soundtrack to a film by Chinese director Wong Kar-wai, the film In the Mood for Love. The plot's very Fitzgerald. Two people meet again who once were in love, and it's set in the radio days of Hong Kong in the early 50s and filled with those sounds. So here's three short pieces from the soundtrack. A fragment of Beijing Opera from 1912, performed by opera and film star Tan Jinpei, one of the first film stars in China, followed by a Ping Tang classic, and then a song from a Cantonese opera which tells of forbidden love, Hong Nian Hui Xiang Sheng.
Thank you.
Liberate No Man's Land, a very cinematic piece of non-cinema music by Dawang Gang, a band of soundscape artists and musical explorers from northeast China who graced the BBC Radio 3 stage at WOMAD this year. Now for a moment where the BBC's Sound of Cinema season collides with Lake Junction, tonight's conversation with Mike Figgis. Mike's been a musical explorer from his earliest days. Check the People Band track from last night on the iPlayer if you didn't hear it. And it's jazz and the trumpet that have always been closest to his heart. From Louis Malle's film Lift to the Scaffold, that was Miles Davis. Générique is the name of the track. And for me, I think it's something that is kind of the lodestone of Mike Figgis's work. I hear it a lot in your film. It's partly because you're a trumpeter yourself, and it's partly because you love to use bass in the films, don't you? Mm-hmm. Like, it punctuates a lot of the action. It appears to punctuate a lot of the actors' thoughts. Mm-hmm. So what did it do for you? Did that kind of change your life when you heard Lift to the Scaffold?
It did. I changed. You know, I was already a trumpet player, so I grew up in a house with a father who was obsessed with jazz, and so I initially played the trumpet to impress him, and then I loved it. But I grew up sort of really much Louis Armstrong, who remains a hero, but in a different way. And then I discovered Miles when I was a little older, when I was in my teens. And then I know I bought this album in Amsterdam, and I think it was a double kind of album thing. I think Art Blakey on one side and Miles on the other, and this was my introduction to this score. And then much later, I found out much more about how he'd made it and the fact that he improvised, and he watched the film, and then he played to the film and so on. And then much, much later, and I had a really interesting chat with Richard Williams about this, because he'd written a great book about Kind of Blue. And I put forward the theory that actually Lift to the Scaffold was more of a seminal album in a way than Kind of Blue. Kind of Blue, I think, came off the back of this. But I think the fact that he played for a film kind of liberated him away from, let's say, the trends in jazz post-bebop. And he played pure film. And he was all about connecting your emotion to a narrative in a cinematic experience. And I think that liberated Miles. And plus, he recorded in Paris, away from the jazz scene.
Plus, your Louis Malle was talking to a man who was at one of the peaks of his powers, wasn't he? I mean, he was just about
Malle was
to
at the peak of his power. Plus, he was a dyed-in-the-wool jazz lover. You know, he loved jazz, and he used jazz wonderfully in many of his films. So, and he clearly was a Miles Davis fan. So,
and they did all-night sessions, and Malle would show various scenes and say, OK, let's do a take, and they did six or seven takes of each one.
So this idea of improvising the score and this direct connection to the film itself hugely, enthusiastically received pieces of information on my part, because that's the way I'd been working anyway, with, you know, the People Show and with live theatre events and things like that. But then, and then, as I say, just as a sidetrack, afterwards realising, wow, actually a piece of film music that happened to be jazz, in its own way, had a massive influence on the way jazz then developed, became more modal, became less obsessed with, you know, bebop chord changes and so on. You know, and Miles was at the forefront of that.
Yes, it's a sort of new minimalism to jazz, so you don't have to see how many notes you can get in per square inch, although that's also very interesting, and I wouldn't for a moment say that people shouldn't do it. On your new film, your latest film, which I like very, very much, Suspension of Disbelief, there's a very interesting scene, there's a kind of car journey where two of the characters are having a key conversation, and I just wondered, it really is a chicken and egg situation in terms of music and visuals. I just wondered what was giving the scene the tension and how you got the music to fit the action.
The thing about driving in cars at night is you are, it's like science fiction, it's space travel. You're in a bubble, it's very intimate, and it's dark. And then you have this night vision through the windscreen of the headlights and the road ahead. Just the fact of driving at night immediately gives me the freedom to compose something completely different, sexier, more rhythmic, more kind of, you know, let's say rhythmically ambiguous too, because it's got all kinds of, let's say, non-conventional percussion sounds in it and things like that. I play trumpet on top of it. Trumpet's a great instrument, you know, and actually, the quieter and the more subtle you use the trumpet, the better instrument it becomes. I mean, one of the things I never wanted to do was play loud or to play, you know, the C above top C like Cat Anderson. I never wanted to die of an aneurysm, for example, which is what happens if you're a power trumpet player. You know, it's a very dangerous instrument, actually. And all that concentration on your neck muscles and your brain, you know. So I've always loved the idea, and that's why I like Miles, playing quietly, you know. And the closer and the quieter to the microphone you can play it, you start to hear breath. And that's something a lot of jazz musicians are aware of, saxophone players, flautists, you know. When you start to hear breath as part of a musical statement, you've crossed a line into intimacy in a very interesting way.
This is your choice of an Ennio Morricone tune, On Earth as It Is in Heaven, from The Mission. on earth as it is in heaven. Ennio Morricone from The Mission, and I think you can hear either a Philip Glass influence there, or you can hear Morricone's influence on Philip Glass, I'm not sure which.
Sure.
Why did you choose that track?
Well, I wanted to choose a Morricone track. This is a delightful track, and it's a sort of like, certainly the opening of it kind of still gives me a little tingle. It's an example also of somewhere, with all fairness, I can probably say that the score is more memorable than the film, which would be unfair to Morricone in the sense that what he's brilliant at actually is serving film. And I remember reading an interview with Morricone where he laid down some very basic rules for film composing, and they remain the most sensible things I've ever heard about composing. And there was things like, don't change key unless you really have to. Don't worry about, you know, exotic, you know, harmonic invention. Think more about combinations of instruments that will give a new sort of sound or a new kind of edge. Don't be frightened of tunes. Don't be frightened of conventional harmonies. It's really what are you going to do with them, and how, you know, how will you voice them and things like that. So they're very much about the idea that you are in service to the drama, and what you need to do is kind of spice it and enhance it and make that connection to the heart, often, which a film hasn't already done because it's been subtle. You know, the best combination is when a film is being, let's say, quite cool and it's implying emotion, but it hasn't actually gone over the, you know, we don't have floods of tears. In fact, you probably are seeing stoicism. And then you bring in a score which doesn't at the same time, you know, rape your kind of emotional inputs, but at the same time, it just does enough. It does what music can do, which is it opens the heart. And I think Morricone, in his prime, was someone who really taught us how to do that. You know, before that, you know, film music, however good we love, you know, Bernard Herrmann and so on, It soared away a lot, you know, and it did change key, and it sort of, you know, it was almost like sometimes I've tuned into some exotic radio station that seems to have nothing to do with the film I'm watching, you know, particularly in the 40s and 50s when, you know, some film composition went a little bit nutty.
And yet the next piece of music that you've chosen is The Gadfly. Well, it's the introduction to the film The Gadfly by Shostakovich. Mm-hmm. So tell us about this film, which I think probably very few of our listeners will have seen. I certainly
including
haven't.
Me.
Okay.
Now, I found, actually, when I was doing the last film, Suspension of Disbelief, I decided that I would like to find a kind of interesting balance between sort of what I call needle drop, which is existing music, classical music or whatever, and original score. So I just jumped into my collection. And I just listened to a lot of Wagner, and I listened to a lot of Bach, and then this. It's such a pretty piece of music, and I used it on the soundtrack of Suspension of Disbelief in temp form, and even, you know, investigated how much it would cost to use it.
Temp form means?
When I'm editing the film and I just want to try a piece of music to see if it's got the right kind of emotional thing. I have to say, it had so much of the right kind of emotional thing, because it was a goodbye scene, a classic sort of, you know, brief encounter moment, that it was sort of, it almost made you want to cry, and you kind of think, well, why am I crying? It's not that intense, you know? And then I wrote something, but very much influenced by this, by the kind of, just the orchestration of it.
Thank you.
Shostakovich, the introduction to the film The Gadfly. Shostakovich is obviously a serious composer writing for cinema. Do you think that there's, these days, there's a problem with commercial film writing, well, film composers and serious composers, and that we don't see enough of serious composers writing for film?
I think the problem is more to do with evolution, because the kind of music that, for a wider audience, works in cinema tends to be quite harmonic. The minute you use a piece of really edgy music that is pushing its own boundaries, it will say to the audience, listen to me, listen to me. And the minute that happens in a film, it's failed in its task. You know, the phrase is underscore, not just score. It's underscore, it's underneath. And it's something that the beauty of cinema is that actually the tendency for each of the elements to want to be pushy and avant-garde often is counterproductive. What can be avant-garde is how you combine, like Morricone said, you know, sound with vision, with certain kind of use of text. It's not such a big menu, but it's very interesting the number of ways you can play with it and morph from one to the other. It is narrative-based, mainstream cinema. It is about storytelling. And the last thing you want to do is to have the music start taking over the story. Because we're so obsessed with form and the development of form and the avant-garde and so on, you know, certainly as you progress through to the middle of the 20th century, and you can see that in jazz, you can see it already, it happened at the turn of the century in classical music with whole tone and, you know, music concrete and then John Cage and all of that, that our obsession in the West always towards developing form is entirely different from, let's say, the Eastern approach, which is more to do with time and space and modality and not so much an obsession with form. So often you find a lot of filmmakers will turn much more towards an Eastern approach of music, which works really, really well in cinema because it's minimal and it is modal. And it, as Morricone says, doesn't keep changing key.
Well, we just heard Mike Figgis explaining the modal, minimalist route to film composition, and there was Ry Cooder taking a very similar trail in his soundtrack for Paris, Texas. And by the way, is the desert really the desert without Ry's shimmering slide guitars? I think when I'm going to go, I'm going to be wearing headphones. More of the thoughts and the music of Mike Figgis tomorrow night when he brings along some of his favourite needle drop, that is to say, pre-existing music rather than original scores. Now, do tweet in and tell me if you've ever seen Frank Zappa's movie 200 Motels. Of course, that's at BBC Radio 3, #LateJunction. Somehow, I never got to see that movie. But after dipping into the soundtrack this week, it's definitely on my list of wanna-sees. But maybe you'll advise against. Centerville, and She Painted Up Her Face, from Frank Zappa and the Mothers of Invention, and it's from the soundtrack of 200 Motels, directed by Frank Zappa and Tony Palmer, and starring, of course, the Mothers of Invention, Frank himself, Theodore Bickel, and Ringo Starr. Well, it's very nearly time to put the lights back up and sweep up the popcorn here in the Lake Junction Cinema. But I'll be back tomorrow night with the final part of our brief encounter with Mike Figgis and movie music from Meredith Monk, Ligeti and Imar Sumak, to name but three Illuminati. I'll leave you tonight with Stevie Winwood on Hammond and the Spencer Davis Group. It's from the soundtrack of Clive Donner's 1968 movie Here We Go Round the Mulberry Bush. Mulberry Bush. Waltz for Caroline. Good night. Thanks for listening.